not ready yet? I know it's a little early, but we might get out of here a little earlier, too.
That's all right. I have things to do today.
All right.
Maybe we might be holding to that.
Well, if y'all get up and walk out, I know I went too long.
Well, that was a good sermon, guys.
That I would expect from him. All right. Here lately, I've been thinking, you know, with all this corona and demonstrations, problems we've had with Black Lives Matters, how Jesus didn't die for color. He didn't die for skin. He died for everybody. Black, white, yellow, red. No, color's not the problem, sin's the problem. Okay.
I guess they're teaching themselves today. It's a free for all, right? Beth, come up. She's you missed it.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all this, what is normalcy, the new norm? What does a Christian have to look forward to? From where I'm standing, we look forward to heaven. So what does God say about heaven? If we turn to my favorite book of the Bible, which is Revelation chapter 21, we'll see what heaven on earth is supposed to be like. That day's coming, but we just don't know when. Is this the beginning of the end? I have no idea. I'm sure the Jews in World War II thought that was the end. I'm sure there are lots of people throughout the ages who thought the bubonic plague was the end. Whatever the influenza outbreak of 1918 was the end. This crisis, it's not the end. The Bible tells us there will be wars of rumors of wars, there will be pestilences and disease right up until the time Christ comes to rapture his church away. And then Satan will be loosed on the earth and all hell will break loose like we have never seen before. More pestilences, more disease, more killings. This is just the beginning. It began some 2,000 years ago when they crucified Christ. It won't stop until Christ sets foot on this earth again after the 7-year tribulation. Then there'll be a period of 1,000 years, which everything will be good. And Satan will be loosed one more time to take who he will. And then God will put an end to all suffering. And then John tells us in the book of Revelation, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away. There was no more sea. All the water's gone. Wonder what that'd be like. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give faith unto him that is, or I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's a beautiful thought. After earth is so racked with death, plagues, pain, God creates a whole new earth for us. Right now, 72% of our earth is water. But we just read there'll be no sea. So that's all going to be dry land. Kind of reminds me of in the beginning when God created Eden. It didn't rain. The dew fed the plants in the morning. Everything was thriving, alive, beautiful, wonderful. And then Satan entered. Deceived humans. Because he is the father of lies, the great deceiver. And if we look around today, we can just about see him working. It's not a pleasant sight to see all the pain and suffering. But it's just something we have to go through. As Christians, it's our obligation, our duty, to try to bring as many people to Christ as we can. We don't want to see people in hell. I don't want to see people in hell. But if they don't trust Jesus, that's our only other option. And after hell's a lake of fire. A lot of people say Revelation's just a book to scare you. Revelation doesn't scare me. It's a warning. It's like you get an electrical appliance that says, you know, do not stick your finger in a light socket. Wonder why? If you ever did that, you'll find out why. It bites. Electricity's nothing to play with. Most people can live through a little shock. You can't live without God. You can't live without Jesus. So all in all, it's our choice. It's what a lot of this world comes down to, is choice. God didn't make the GLBT community. They chose that lifestyle. God made us different colors. We didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our lineage. But through faith and miraculous conception, we were marvelously and wondrously created in our mother's womb, each and every one of us. No one any different, save one. Christ Jesus was made in his mother's womb without the help of a male. Adam was made without the help of a mother or a father. Eve was made without a mother. Christ was made without a father. An earthly father, that is. But the God who made Adam and Eve also created Satan and Jesus. He also allowed Jesus to come through the auspices of a woman to become mortal flesh. He lived a short 33 years. How many of us in here are over 33 now? There's a few younger. Christ lived those 33 years knowing full well that at some point he was going to die. And at some point his father was going to turn his back on him, for his father couldn't look on sin. That was just a split second on the cross where Jesus died. 3 days later, he arose from the grave. And thank God for each and every one of us. If that never would have happened, we'd still be in our sin. As long as we believe fully in Christ and do our best to live up to his commandments, he knows we're sinners. He knows what we're capable of. He knows we'll fail, because all humans fail. The only one worthy is Jesus, in whom we must trust. This is the same Alpha and Omega, the living God. So as we look forward to this new earth and new heaven, the flip side of that coin says, but the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We think of hell as a bad place. It's nothing compared to the lake of fire. And I would not want to see anybody there. It was not created for humanity. It was created for Satan and his fallen angels. But in a deception, Satan's going to take us with him, if he can. And if he can, he'll even discourage the very elect. The Christians will fall prey to the lies. That's a scary thought. Some of our pastors, our preachers, our teachers could be working, telling you all the right things for all the wrong reasons. So how do you glean the truth? It's simple. Read the Bible. That's the truth. The only truth. Your teacher can tell you all about history, all about chemistry, all about how the body works, but he can't tell you how it's made. He can't tell you how long you have to live. He can't tell you everything God knows about us. Why we do what we do, when we do what we do. God knows. And he allows each and every one of us many opportunities to accept him. The question is, do we? It's our choice. It always has been throughout the ages. The Old Testament saints look forward to the coming Christ. They found him in Jesus. The New Testament saints look forward to the second coming of Christ. We know Jesus came to this earth. We know Jesus opened up heaven to all people, not just the Jews, the Gentiles as well. God favored the Jews because God favored the Jews of the Old Testament. And I think it was their responsibility to teach others the ways of Christ, just as it's our responsibility to teach others the way to Christ. They were looking forward to a coming Messiah. We're looking back at the Messiah. They're saying, please come. We're saying, please get this over with. We're tired. We ache. We hurt. We've got disease. I've had congestive heart failure for 30 years. We've had people in here with cancer, among other things. My daughter's special needs. She's now a CNA. We all have something in our background. That something's Christ. If we accept Him, good things will happen. Not to say you're going to live a wonderful life, nothing's ever going to happen, you're never going to get cancer, disease, run over by a car, slip in the bathtub, crack your head. All these happen to everybody. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The difference is we know where we're going in the end. The lost have no clue. Some of them think Jesus is a farce. Some say He's a good man. A lot of people say Muhammad was a good man. He may have been. Mother Teresa, beautiful lady, helped the poor. Did she trust God as her Savior? I don't know. We'll find out in time. Our Catholic friends, they can trust Jesus just as easily as we can. It's amazing to me that all these religions trust in God, but only one holds Jesus up as the true Savior. And that's Christianity. And of all the religions in this country, Christianity is the one being compressed, silenced, ridiculed. Everybody has a right to ... be what they are, protest, ransack, loot, wear their hair in multicolors and dress like the opposite sex. Everybody has that right. But let a Christian say they're wrong, and I'll bet there's not going to be a silent word around. Everybody's going to come unglued. But we need to speak up. We need to help those who will listen. We don't want to see anybody in hell. We don't want to see anybody in the second death. So what does this new heaven and earth look like? So we look on at Revelation 21, verses 9 and following. Scripture says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife," which is the church, by the way. "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. Names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. The city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Well, most of us have study Bibles. My study Bible says a new heaven and earth is the atmospheric heaven around and above the earth. This area has been the domain of Satan and must be purified before a heaven of God can come down to the new earth. This new earth will be a perfect environment similar to that of the Garden of Eden. A unique distinctive of this new earth will be that the vast oceans of water that now cover 3/4 of the world's surface will not be included, leaving much more inhabitable land for the population of the redeemed. That's a lot of land. Wow. That's a lot of land. So it seems to me that a lot of people are going to be in heaven. He measured the wall of 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The building of the wall of it was jasper. The city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. The foundations of the wall and the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chardonnay, or chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysophragus, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, an amethyst. I know a lot of you ladies have precious stones as jewelry. A lot of men do too, for that matter. But could you imagine walking on a foundation of these stones? Today we walk on rocks, concrete, sand. Not very pretty, but it works. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Could you imagine walking on gold? Could you imagine walking on transparency? Could you imagine how beautiful and gleaming that would be? That's all we can do is imagine until we see it firsthand. That's something I really want to see. It's more exciting than brimstone and fire. And I saw no temple therein, no churches. Ever been in a town without a church? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We need to remember that the Lamb's book of life is full of names. And the Bible tells us if we die without Christ, those names are blotted out of the book of life. So that in and of itself tells us that everyone born Their name is in the Book of Life. And by choice, if they choose not Christ, their names are blotted out. They had a chance. Everyone has a chance. I don't want my name blotted out. I trust Jesus. He is my Savior. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I try my best. And I think He knows that. Why else would a man with heart disease be here for 30 some odd years? When I know people that just drop dead for no apparent reason. When I was first diagnosed back in 1990, I asked my first cardiologist, "How long do I have to live?" He said, "Well, that's not up to me, that's up to God." I said, "Well, what about my condition?" He said, "I've had people live 20, 30 years. I've had people live 20, 30 minutes." Now, to a 33-year-old, that's a pretty scary statement. He said, "If you make a few adjustments in your life, and God willing, the medication helps, you can live a moderately productive, normal life." He said, "You might find at times you're going to be tired, you're going to be wore out, you may fill up with fluids like you did." That's when they found it. But he said, "You can live with medication." Okay. Here I am, still talking about Jesus. About 5 years ago, they stuck a defibrillator in my chest. That was fun. I guess that was about 6 years ago, because 5 years ago it went off. No, I didn't feel it. I passed out before it happened, but my cardiologist at the time said that if it hadn't worked, I would have never got up off the floor. So I'm still here for some reason. God's not done with me. I'm still making sense of it somehow. I've not been hit by COVID. I've worked every day through this thing. My wife's worked through it. My daughter's worked through it. We've not stayed home. We couldn't. I can't cut off my nose to spite my face and stay home and live in fear. Christ didn't make us to be fearful. He made us to be warriors, to be examples, to live for Him. And this is our reward, heaven, a new life, no pain, no sickness, no tears, no death. Hooray! That's what we all want. And we know how to get it. So the choice is ours. Christ, yay or nay? God, or just a normal man with good intentions? And chapter 22 of Revelation is one of my favorites, because it tells us how Jesus is going to come. Doesn't say He's going to come soon. It says He's going to come quickly. If we look at chapter 22, verses 6 and following, John speaking and says, "He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of the book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showeth me these things. Then he saith unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's my favorite part of the Bible. We read in the beginning how God created. We then read how Satan marred the land and the people. The earth was cursed. Then from Genesis to Revelation, we see what happens when we don't trust Jesus. We see what happens when we do trust Jesus. So that gives us a choice. Jesus, not Jesus. God, Satan. Believe. Well, I think there's God, but I don't know that I can know him. You know, I think he had a son, but if you can't know God, how can you know his son? And you got all these preachers all over the TV and all over the radio, and which one do you believe? Hey, there ain't no God. You live, you laugh, you love, you die, you're done. It's not that simple. We have choices to make. And that's the most important choice you'll ever make. The love of your life, raising your kids, your mom and dad. Those choices are easy. Jesus, not Jesus. That's the tough one. That's the only one that'll get you to heaven. There may be people that listen to this on the internet and don't like it. But that's the truth. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't change it to fit our agenda. It is what it is. Written in black and white. It took probably about 5,000 years to make it. Maybe six. The Old Testament tells us what was going on before Christ. The New Testament tells us what's going on after Christ. And the first five books of the Bible tells us what went on during Christ. There's some love stories. There's some horror stories. There's some beautiful stories. Then there's Revelation. Seven churches, seven different opinions. Which church do you want to be like? We've all studied those. Jim's went over them numerous occasions. Then all the plagues and the trials and tribulation. That's not going to be a pretty sight, and I don't want to be around for it. We think this pandemic is bad. We think World War II was bad. My generation thought Vietnam was bad. Today it's the Middle East. That's nothing compared to what's coming. And God is my witness, I don't want to see it. I want to be far away from it. By death or by rapture, it doesn't matter as long as I'm with my Christ. That's about all I got to say. There isn't much else to say. Sobering thought. We all have the power. We all have the source. We all have the choice. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for this time and for this message, Lord, and I ask that you would be with each and every one here that heard this message and take it to heart. It is our choice. Our choice to accept you or to neglect you and just forget about you. Lord, you are in our hearts as we was born. You're in our hearts when we die. Whether you take us to heaven or we go to hell, that's our choice. And for that, we thank you. We're the only entity that you have given choice to. We're the only thing that can be evil. Animals do what animals do. Grasses do what grasses do. Waters do what waters do. Only man can pollute. Only man can disrupt. Only man can be evil. Through your power, Lord, you see us through. And you encourage us. And we accept that encouragement and go through our lives as best we can, living for you. So now as we close, Lord, I ask that you would be with these folks, be with those who may hear through the internet, and just let us live a life that's acceptable to you so that we may be encouragement to others to accept you and join us in that faraway land called heaven. In Christ's name, amen. So in closing, let's see, hymn number 109, Whiter Than Snow. And shall we please stand? Let's just sing the first verse. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfect. Thank you. great to have you all with me here today. I hope you enjoyed the message. I hope you take it to heart. We have choice. We make our choices. Christ knows our choices and accepts them. He doesn't prod us, poke us, either way. He gave us life. He allows us to live our life. He gave us a choice. That choice is ours to make. So, Jerry, would you close us in prayer, sir?
Lord, we're just so thankful we can come together and gather here and learn more of your words to us. Lord, the last couple chapters of Revelation give us great hope for the future. Lord, we are humbled that we get to praise you and that you, Lord, hear each and every prayer that is uttered to you. That's just such a powerful thing. We are just so thankful for that. And through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.